Have you ever like slapped anyone?
Slapped anyone?
Yeah, like in school.
No, I wasn't a slappy kind of person. You probably did because you're very slappy.
No, I'm not. That's mean.
You're a scrappy, slappy little thing.
No, not anymore. I've not been in a fight since I was 12. But what, you've never been in a fight like ever before in your life?
Not really.
You've never been like, catch me after school, bitch?
No.
Never.
The only confrontation I had was like six dudes trying to like mug
escalated really fucking quickly.
Trying to like mug me.
Oh my god, what?
Yeah.
When?
When I was in college.
Yeah.
I was a ruffian.
Yeah.
I was rolling with some bad characters. Mm-hmm. Well, not necessarily. But I was basically trying to sell, you know, weed to my mates. And give everyone a better deal than what the current drug dealers were providing, because we were all very frustrated with the level of service and,
So you did a white man.
And so I was like, well, I can probably, like, get some good prices on weed and then like sell you guys whatever, and then I just get to keep a chunk and then everyone's happy and I'll go and buy the next bag of weed and off we go. And it worked for a while, but then I think these other fellas at my college got wind that I was selling at like, you know,
low rates.
Not low rates, but just juicy bags of good weed that was better than theirs, bigger than theirs, and they got upset about that. And so they wanted to just steal it from me.
Oh my gosh.
And
you're like, this is like a rap story right here. I didn't know you had street cred. I didn't know that my boyfriend was for the streets.
And yeah, I was in like an alleyway and then like, you know, we were going to go back into class and one of them came forward to ask if he could buy a bag of weed off me. I was just like, kind of like, no. And then I sort of was like, nah, come here, man. I'll buy a big bit off you, basically.
Yeah.
I was like, and then as soon as I sort of like stopped walking, all of the others like came at me.
Oh my God.
And there was like, this sounds made up, but I'm not making this up. There was like a kind of like disfigured dwarf one. And these are all a bunch of, like, South Asian guys.
What the fuck? Wait, what? Wait. It just, like, turned into Twin Peaks all of a sudden. How? So where did the... Was the disfigured dwarf one of the gang?
Yeah.
Was he doing violence?
Yeah, he, like, jumped on my back and started, like, punching me in the head.
What?
And so I started, like, spinning around to try and get him off. And then, luckily, because I was with my old metal band at the time, and so, like, luckily my drummer, like, it came back to do some, like, Tekken level kick. And, like, literally, like, did one of those kicks where he's, like, flying through the air, like, a sideways kick like you'd see in fucking Karate Kid or some shit, and kicks this fucking guy off of my back, and then...
That's the boy that drinks his milk. That's why he's strong and can kick like that.
And then we fucking ran, and, like, ran back to, yeah, to the college.
Didn't you say that you, like... you've told me this story before, I kind of remember it roughly, but didn't you say you, like... stress smoked all of the weed that you had left?
Yeah, and I had a partner that I like, you know, did all of this shenanigans with, and I told him that I got robbed and then I smoked the rest of the weed in compensation for the traumatizing experience that I went through.
You're like, I need it for my trauma.
Yeah, pretty much.
I need it for the emotional labor.
Pretty much. And then yeah.
Was he cool with that, or?
I mean, he had no choice.
You don't want to mess with those fucking shady weed guys, dude.
Nah, he was like kind of a friend, but also like, you know, the dickhead of the group that no one really fucking got on with that well.
Yeah.
Because he was quite, not like, I don't know, he was just an odd personality, I guess. Not an odd personality, but just like hard to get on with. He'd always like, you know, you could be talking about anything and, you know, he's done one better.
Oh, he was like one of those one-uppy guys.
But not like, you know, just, oh, you'd be telling like the odd story. And they'd be like, oh yeah, I remember when I've done this thing. Like literally anything. Anything. Like, oh, you know, I got a lot of change in my wallet today. Oh, I remember this one time I had so much fucking change in my wallet and my pants were nearly falling down.
Oh my God.
And it was like, okay,
good for you, bro.
Like, and it was just like, okay, I can't fucking, no. And like, I tolerated him because we did this stuff and, you know, we got high together and stuff sometimes.
My story is not as like interesting though. You've usurped me now.
But I didn't slap anyone, but that was the only kind of,
you got slapped,
that was the only kind of
midget
confrontation I got. And I was trying to like, you know, I was like trying to swing at him. I don't know. I think I probably made contact one or two times, but like it was my drummer's fucking karate kick that came and did the trick.
Day.
Yeah,
save
for sure.
Day.
I can't claim full valor for that.
Mine was psychological and physical warfare because it was a boarding school and obviously a boarding house full of girls, like teenage, preteen girls or whatever, is going to be like psychological and sometimes escalate to physical warfare. And there was this girl called Amy who just didn't like the cut of my jib. And she was just like, she was like, her dad was like in the army or some shit. And she had a lot of emotional issues. But because she was like, you know, like, I don't know. For some reason, people seem to like her. And because of that, she got
charismatic.
Yeah, something like along those lines. I'm not really sure. It was more like she used victimhood to like, you know,
to guilt people into,
yeah,
like,
because it was like every time she would act out or do something insanely bitchy, everyone would be like, oh my God, but her dad's like in the army and she's going through lots of issues. And I'm like, all of us are going through issues. We're all like fucking weird children that have been thrown into boarding school. Like all of us are not well. Like, why does she get a pass? Like, that was my whole thing. But she just really didn't like the cut of my jib because I kind of saw through her and I
called
didn't,
her on her bullshit.
Well, I didn't call her on it, but I just didn't like pander to her as much as everyone else did.
Didn't capitulate.
No, I was like, fuck you, I don't like the cut of your jib, bitch. But then she like turned all of her like weird psychotic urges onto me and was just like accost me, say horrible things to me, turn people against me, spread rumors about me. She was just like a general tyrant or whatever. And also her big trump card was that she had like this like fat sister that was in year 11 or something like that. So she, right, was like a big kid and her sister had friends. So she would always threaten to get her sister's friends. It was like the nuclear bomb threat, basically.
Oh my God.
That was, she had like the arsenal.
She had the biggest stick.
Yeah, she did. So that was why everyone also was like feared her, which is why she got all the attention as well. Cause like she had this fucking fat sister. So basically one day I was just like, fuck it, I've had enough of this bitch. And I started a mutiny against her. I started a fucking, this is like a plot of Mean Girls or some shit. And it escalated into a full blown fight because she got her fucking older sister's friends on me with my friends. And there was a bit of a tussle and we all got in trouble. And it was like a huge mess. But that was like the last physical altercation I ever had. And it ended up me getting my ass handed to me by like some fucking BPD ho and her fat sister.
Oh, damn.
So since then, I've retired from combat. I've never had a world star hip hop moment. I've been close to it in the past, but I've never had a world star hip hop moment. But I feel like I'm just a few like mental breakdowns away from having my moment on World Star Hip Hop.
Yeah, I was going to say you've come close a couple times.
Why are you outing me like that?
I'm just joking.
Where are you? When have I come close?
Never, not with me.
What,
I'm
like
just
with the neighbor?
Yeah, I guess.
You deserve that though.
DJ Dickhead, but yeah. Like, no, I'm only joking.
But yeah, other than that, no, I've never had like a physical altercation as an adult. And I feel like if you do, you're like kind of cringe.
I feel like
I'm like alone in that opinion. Some people see that shit as like a sign of strength these days.
I feel like I, you know, should have attended the Grammy so I could have pulled a Will Smith and slapped that Grammy out of the Alicia Keys. Alicia Keys producer's hands.
Oh no, yeah, Jake was nominated this year. We didn't go because one of his music friends advised us not to and said that it wasn't worth it.
And then when we were watching the ceremony, to be fair, I think we were both pretty glad that we didn't go.
Because it looked cringe. And then they got LeVar Burton.
Yeah, but he didn't announce my award. So I don't care.
If you slapped LeVar Burton, you'd probably be America's most hated man.
Oh, yeah, that's like akin to slavery, dude. You can't slap Kunta Kinte.
You can't fucking do that.
Definitely
shit.
Definitely not.
That's like the most cancelable offense, I think, is for you to slap Kunta Kinte in the face.
But no, it was great to be nominated, but I did have a hunch that basically this other really good producer called Greg Penny was going to actually win, because he produced another pop star, Harry Styles, and that was in the same category. And then from out of nowhere, Alicia Keys comes and like takes it. And I tried to find it on Apple Music today, because that's obviously like the platform for all the immersive stuff. Oh,
Jake, why can't you just be a gracious winner?
And it's not even on there.
Sorry, a gracious nominee.
It's not even on there in immersive, mate. So like...
Dude, you should be a gracious nominee instead of like throwing shade
at
a black queen. You're a privileged white man.
I still want to have a listen.
The black queen got the award.
No, I want to have a listen to see how immersive Alicia Keys' album is, because
what we're really saying is that Jake is a victim of woke culture and that he really deserved the Grammy.
Well, hey,
Alicia Keys shouldn't have got it.
That's what I'm trying to say. I bet Greg Perini did an incredible job of Harry Styles. So like, I bet that's also, if you listen to that in any immersive possibility you have, then that's also like probably fucking kick ass.
Yeah.
But mine was also, you know, with a pretty well-renowned, like immersive surround producer and stuff. So it had a shot in, and it is a very good album, and it was a very good mix.
Get on the tuxedo, go to Vegas, and give him a slap.
That's what people are doing now. So it feels like you just got to assert your authority, and then you get given an award.
But don't you think that unless someone pushes you?
Well, I'm not Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, so I couldn't get away with that.
You get carted off.
I couldn't get away with that.
No, like. But don't you think that as an adult, like it should be violence should be like the very last resort that you go to, but in any given situation. But now it seems like glorified for the opposite to be true. And like, I feel like people forget what it's like back in the day when violence was on the table. Like men used to fucking challenge each other to duels and shit over slight insults. Like, do we want to return back to those fucking days?
I don't know.
Like the reason we're like kind of very anti-violence in society is because we've like lived through seeing what that is like, and it's not something we should celebrate or bring back, in my opinion. Like you have to explore other ways to resolve conflict interpersonally.
But I could challenge Alicia Keys to a duel and restore my honor. as a man.
Right.
Like,
you were cucked by Alicia Keys.
No, I'm just joking. Completely, no, like, obviously. Like, she's a massive world selling artist and everything. And like,
I liked
it's
her
great.
Early stuff, like back when she was this like jazzy girl.
Mm.
But then she started trying to do pop shit and compete with Beyonce. And it was like, you're not going to do that. Like, nobody can do that. Like, you should keep doing like jazzy stuff.
Okay, tinfoil hat. And again, I'm joking, but maybe that's why they've got to give her stuff like the immersive Grammy.
Oh,
because, you know, she's going to have a hard time competing
salty.
In there. I know. Well, no,
it
like,
sounds like you're super
the thing
salty
is like,
right
I, you know, I'm going to also
you
listen
should be more
to
gracious. You were nominated for
I
a
am.
Fucking Grammy at 28.
I'm super
like, who
gracious.
Gets nominated for
I'm
a fucking
super
Grammy
gracious.
At 28. Like,
but just the winner makes me raise eyebrows as to how that process works, because I'm going to listen to that album and I you know, objectively, obviously, but also critically, because that's kind of like what I do. And it's like,
oh my god, Jake, you sound like such a spurgy nerd right now. You
and
need
it's
to
like,
stop.
I guarantee, I bet even Greg, you know, I bet Greg's mix for Harry was probably better than
oh
that.
Oh my god!
And then,
god.
On top of that, I would even then say that, you know, the music I was working on was more interesting, and the mix was also fucking top notch. So I would have just
you
given
will
it
not tarnish
bonus
the name of our black queen. Okay, you're just a jealous white devil who wants to steal a black woman's shine, and I think you should be ashamed of yourself.
No, I'm like absolutely joking. It was amazing to be nominated, and like you know, it was awesome experience.
It was cute. Hopefully, your parents were on like a Skype call.
I know they were on a little Facebook call with me as we were watching it together and stuff. I'm glad they like the immersive category wasn't last, because then that would have been really fucking awkward, like at the end of a 3-hour fucking ceremony.
Oh my god!
But you know, it was cool, and I'm glad I got this cool little medal and memories, and yeah, it's really amazing. So
yeah, there's like a golden medal hanging up on our wall right now.
Yeah,
to remind you of your awesome achievement.
Hopefully, there's no ambient category, I don't think, or at least not in the first half of the broadcast that I watch. So like, I was thinking like, oh, I can try and get the ambient Grammy, but there is no ambient Grammy.
No.
Maybe they'll have to invent it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of big names making it. I mean, how the fuck? I mean, Brian Eno's been making ambient music for 50 years almost now.
Ambient's just never really like taken that much space.
Ridiculous.
Like that, unfortunately. I love it, but it's like an acquired taste.
But the thing is when you type in ambient music on fucking any service,
yeah,
you'll get a bunch of like whale song adjacent,
yeah,
like,
I know, it sucks.
Meditation, chakra alignment, like new age bullshit, yeah, fucking stuff. Whereas there's actually loads of really, really incredible albums out there.
I know.
That are like completely ambient albums.
What's the name of that Brian Eno one that we were listening to?
The Harold Budd one.
Yeah, what's it called?
Pavilion of Dreams.
Pavilion of Dreams. That was some of the most gorgeous music I've ever heard in my fucking life.
But like that, but do you know what I mean?
So
when you search for ambient music, stuff like that isn't what comes in.
It's or like sort of Boards of Canada.
Yeah,
like,
none of one. You know, that even some Boards of Canada, I guess, gets chucked into like IDM isn't even really a genre in like those things. I'd love to. I don't know. It's just awkward.
Yeah.
But yeah. Who knows? Who knows what happened?
Yeah. So are we going to talk about the slap?
Oh yeah, we can carry on talking about the slap now. Yeah.
<It's all good. laughs>
I'm not really gonna request a duel with Alicia Keys.
That'd be funny to watch. But yeah, I don't know.
I think that this is the beginning of like a modern what do you call it? The Ridley Scott film.
The last duel.
Yeah, the beginning of a modern The Last Duel. And Chris Rock and Will Smith will like fucking suit up.
Oh my god.
And because of poetic justice, Chris Rock will fucking kill Will Smith. And it'll be like so epic. And everyone will be like,
the little guy wins.
Everyone will be disgusted with how barbaric they were, like cheering on in the live stream, just like going absolutely fucking like frothing at the mouth. Like, get him, Chris! Get him!
It'll be like the scene in Lord of the Flies. Like, where everyone's just like fucking primal.
Yeah, literally.
Like,
around like their various devices, like that they're watching this fight on, just getting really primal, ripping their shirts off, cheering Chris Rock on.
Oh my god. Like, we may as well bring back the fucking Colosseum. And I know that sounds hyperbolic, it was just a slap, but the way that people reacted to it, people were like justifying it left and right. Giving Will props left and right. People have changed their tune now because it's been a while since it fucking happened. So now that some people have condemned it, especially big comedians, now everyone's all of a sudden changed in their tune. And they're like, oh, Will, naughty Will, bad Will.
It's because
like he partied all night that night. And there were like pictures of him smiling, his teeth shining, fucking twerking to his own songs. He was living it up that night. He was having it large, mate, and everyone was cheering for him, and he like thought he was like America's hero in his head. And like, I even thought the slap was fake to begin with, because
yeah, it did look pretty fake.
But then again, he's an actor. He lives in this sort of hyper real world. He lives in his own head, so in his mind he's like a character. And that's why it looked fake, in my opinion, because it was like a moment from a movie.
And then I guess it was like the dawning realization that it's real life as he like sits back down and starts to try and like shout at Chris Rock as his like mouth is still trembling, and it like the realization is kind of hitting
display.
Of what he's just done.
It was such a perfect display on so many levels. And there are quite a few levels to it. Like the initial response was incredibly telling, because like it was overwhelmingly in favor of Will. Even at the event itself, people who were mm-hmm. there were saying about how all the celebrities were sort of shrouding and sort of Will and Jada were the center of gravity of the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all the people who are now like changing their tune all of a sudden, they're only doing so because it's like the Rotten Tomatoes effect thing where you've got the audience score and you've got the critic score.
Yeah.
And the critic score was like, yay, Will. And the audience score was like, Will should like be sued or like be pressed charges or whatever. And there was that sort of polarity came to a head and all the people started changing their tune basically. But yeah, I don't know. I think that it also represents, like, people were saying I was being hyperbolic. But it's kind like, of
Will Smith is righteous and a Kang for standing up for his wife 3 days later. Delete. Will Smith should watch his, like, you know, behavior. You can't be doing such bad things.
On the level of like culture and political stuff, it kind of represents the silencing of the jester, if you know what I mean, which has sort of been a running theme for the last couple of years as comedians and commentators have been like basically under duress. And I don't say that to be hyperbolic, like not a couple of weeks ago, fucking Joe Biden's administration in its official capacity was trying to put pressure on Spotify to like curtail Joe Rogan. That's like a pretty massive overreach in terms of like governmental administrative powers.
Yeah, but then
the Dave Chappelle stuff, all of the stuff that's been going on about comedians, people who are supposed to be the jester, the one that challenges the system, the one that challenges people's preconceived notions, the ones that poke fun at cultural sensitivities. You know, that's the job of the jester. And I feel like this whole thing was showing you can't do that anymore. You can't offend anymore. You can't be subversive anymore. Everything you say must conform to this certain line. Otherwise, you're going to be punished for it and humiliated. And obviously, Chris Rock is incredibly powerful. And what he said wasn't like political or anything. I'm speaking more in terms of like symbolism, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just affect Chris Rock, the precedent this is set. It affects everybody else who's like, who's doing the same thing, but who's in a less fortunate position, if you know what I mean. Like, it's like a deterrent, if you know what I mean. If someone as big as Chris Rock can be humiliated in that way and very little consequences occur.
Yeah, like, I'm surprised that, well, he's kind of taken the consequences into his own hands, hasn't he? Leaving the academy and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Whilst they were sort of still making a decision about things. And like and there was the classic you know, any mention that Will Smith should face legitimate consequences for his actions is tantamount to racism, basically.
Yeah.
Where like, oh, he should have his Oscar taken away from him and it should be given to someone else from that year. Oh, that's racist because they didn't take Roman Polanski or anyone else's.
I don't think it's
racist,
but I do think it's, you know, kind of overkill considering that they didn't.
I don't think so. I don't think it's not because it's an unprecedented event. No one has done that. And no one has had their Oscar revoked, no matter what kind of piece of shit they are outside.
There was something floating
outside
around
outside of
about
those
how
fucking,
Marlon Brando,
you know,
or someone along those lines, like, nearly slapped some Native American lady at
No, he didn't nearly slap the Native. Well, that's the complete opposite.
That's another thing that they were trying to use to justify
fuck?
Or something. I don't
that's
know.
That's the complete opposite fucking thing. Marlon Brando was so fucking gangster. It's kind of gangster, but it's also kind of like a bit like, you know, it's a bit like, you know, woke pandering or whatever, but people weren't doing that shit back in the 70s or whatever.
Yeah.
So it kind of wasn't. That was like actual activism when he did it like that. But he, instead of coming up to accept his Oscar, he got this Native American activist to go.
Oh, yeah,
go
it wasn't Marlon Brando. It was someone else in the audience apparently nearly accosted this Native American woman. I don't know how true that is.
What, the one that like took
yeah,
that award?
I don't know how true that claim is, but that was something
they
that was
trudged up.
They
were booing her and stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't like everyone,
was
like these days when they say you've got like, you know, 45 seconds, make your speech and like carry on. like, yeah. and they run over because they're harping on about climate change or fucking Black Lives Matter or whatever.
Yeah.
No one, the Oscar music doesn't come on anymore.
No.
They let them speak their truth, man.
Yeah, it's like a DSA meeting now. That's like kind of what the Oscars has become.
Whereas he did that, and he got this woman to go and talk about all of this stuff that the Native American people were suffering from the decisions of the government from, and everyone in the audience is just booing. And they're doing the Oscars music. And it's just like, well, fuck.
Yeah.
It's okay when I don't know if it was just the time period because it was like early 70s.
I mean, this is when he won the Oscar for Godfather 1. The Oscars doesn't really have the moral high ground to be doing punitive judgment on anyone, basically.
Hollywood
in general doesn't have the moral high ground, which is like an understandable thing in that sense. I just don't like the precedent that it sets, that it's okay to, because the reason why the justification was, oh, Jada has alopecia. I feel like it's Munchausen's. Like, honestly, like, I've seen her fucking head. She has like a tiny little bald spot that's probably come from wearing tight weaves, which happens to a lot of Black women from like wearing incredibly tight weaves or braids constantly. And the stress that puts on your hair follicles can often cause hair loss. Or it could be genetic. It could be a myriad of things that caused her issue that aren't necessarily related to race or whatever. But how the fuck was Chris Rock supposed to know that shit? And why was he supposed to care? He made the most innocuous possible comment that one could make, considering the fact that Will and Jada have been so public over the last couple of years about their private life. And that's the second part I wanted to get into, is how they've sort of exploited the culture of oversharing,
mm-hmm.
of mental health lexicon, all of that stuff that's sort of incredibly popular within the social justice kind of constituency. That's been their MO in terms of trying to establish cultural relevancy in this current moment, basically. But it came back to bite them in the ass. I think they got so fucking arrogant with their, we are like the protectors of the Black community and we're doing, because that's what Red Table Talk is supposed to be. We're healing. We're doing the discourse that's going to heal the community and all this fucking bullshit. I think they like got so hopped up on their bullshit and their self-righteousness, and they overreached. And that's what like narcissism tends to do. And this is like a covert narcissism, because it's hiding behind like victimhood, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And it always will end up overreaching and overestimating its own appeal. And I think that's exactly what happened here. They've been like going on this weird tour trying to like show how superior they are, how enlightened and how evolved they are because of their like open relationship and their like gender fluid, like children or whatever. Like they're basically, I'm enlightened. I'm this, I'm that. Like that's the whole vibe they've been trying to put out, and they've just completely humiliated and undermined themselves. And the oversharing aspect is probably what's driven Will crazy in the first place. The fact that he allowed his wife to drag her infidelity out into the public realm for fucking ratings on her fucking Facebook show. Like that shit can't be easy for any man to deal with. And that's the reason why he's like, his shadow came wiling out, you know, during that time.
Yeah. I mean, it's inexcusable. And it's like, yeah, really cheeky. They're just like master manipulator media couple, aren't they? Yeah. In that regard. Because that's like, he's manipulated the outcome by taking his own consequences into his own hands.
Yeah.
And probably all taught by the good old people at Scientology.
Yeah.
And how they can manage all of this stuff and how they can like get through it and stuff. Or it must be, I don't know if it's looked upon badly in Scientology from like, we were watching that Leah Remini Joe Rogan episode the other day. It sounds like those are the sorts of things that you should be auditing.
Yeah.
And not
too many
putting
thetans
out in like you know, just on the TV.
Too many fucking thetans, man.
In the airwaves. You go and put that all in the airwaves. And I'm pretty sure you got so much money, dude. You must have been clear.
I don't think he was clear. I think he missed his e-meter.
He must have been OT8, bro. There's no fucking way.
He missed his e-meter sessions because he was too busy promoting his film on the road. So a thetan got into his body, and that's why he...
Just the single thetan got in for a minute there, and then it made him... got into his hand, and it just overtook him and slapped Chris Rock right across the face. And then it left his body that very same moment, so he's still clear.
Oh, God. I can't even... It's just so nutty. And, like, it was kind of an incredibly surreal moment. But, yeah, I think it kind of represents the silencing of the comic, the sort of... silencing of the jester. And I feel like Chris Rock was kind of like totally overlooked in this entire thing as well. I mean, now he's getting sympathy, but even then I don't even care so much about him as a figure. Like, I'm not like a big fan of his or anything like that. I think it's wrong he got slapped. I don't know what his opinions are or where he stands on anything or whatever.
Well, I think you got to give Chris Rock an amount of respect as a comedian.
No one came to his... No one was caping for him to begin with. People were even inventing reasons for him to be wrong. People were like, he must have done something. Oh, it's because he was making fun of a black woman and all of this fucking bullshit. And it's funny how blackness only applies to, like, the most favored prize subjects.
Yeah, it didn't apply to Chris Rock.
No, because he was in the basket of deplorables, you know?
He was white. Will Smith slapped the blackness right out of him. He was white from that moment onwards.
Oh, my God. It's just, like, it was just a weird moment. A really fucking weird moment. If you could have a fight with any celebrity, who would you choose? Someone easy, like Michael Cera.
Stephen Hawking.
Why Stephen Hawking?
Well, I'm assuming that his wheelchair doesn't like expand out into a transformer or like a Gundam
suit. Ableist, dude. Fucking ableist as fuck.
That's just easy pickings, isn't it?
You're a fucking asshole.
Or like one that would be like, because I don't know, because I think that you would sell as many tickets. Like, if I was a celebrity and I got to pick any celebrity, other celebrity to fight, you would sell just as many tickets doing something outrageous like beating up a disabled celebrity like Stephen Hawking as you would if you were like, oh yeah, I'm gonna fight Jason Statham or like, you know, The Rock or like whoever the fuck, like a hard guy.
Oh my God.
Like, you'd sell just as many tickets. And if that's the goal, then it's like, I'll take Stephen Hawking so I don't get my ass beat. Like,
who do you think I should fight?
You should fight...
Julia Fox. I want to fight Julia Fox.
Yeah, you seem to have it in for Julia Fox.
Because of the way she said Uncut Gems, it's so fucking irritating.
Literally just that?
She's like, Uncut Gems. Like... She like someone,
and that 2 second soundbite is enough to make
you
want to fight.
Someone
her?
Tweeted the perfect thing the other day to explain why it's so irritating. They said she's basically channeling the girl who did study abroad for like 3 months and then came back with an accent. That's why it's annoying, because it's so contrived and like, look at me. See, I'd fucking fight her. Who else did I?
I reckon she just like. Sit on you with a butt
and with you, that ass,
yeah, and you would tap out
and I would tap out.
The mass would just be too much.
Oh my god, who else would I fight? I'd fight Lana Del Rey.
Why?
Just to piss off all the Twitter gays. Yeah, I'd be like, I've killed your fave, fuck all of you. Who else did I fight? I don't know. I'm not a fighter, really. I'm a mean girl with my mouth, but I'm too dignified to fight anyone. I wouldn't do that.
Who's the fictional character that you think is the most powerful fictional character?
Like, ever?
Yeah, like, in a fight, if it was, like, Tekken, and you could choose all the characters like that ever? Were, like, the most epic fucking badasses from comic books and movies and everything, who would you pick?
I would love to see Gandalf versus Dr. Manhattan, because they're basically both gods, and I just feel like it would be so fucking epic.
That would be crazy, but I also feel like, Dr. Manhattan would, like, you can't,
it's like science, you, like, versus Middle Earth magic.
You, like, can't include Dr. Manhattan in anything because, like, but it's not because he's not just that. He's like, seeing the past, present, and future simultaneously.
Yeah, Gandalf could do that too because he's a wizard.
I don't think that that's necessarily...
He doesn't show you his full power level because he's like an old man, but he's like a fucking... What are they called? He's like one of the gods of Middle Earth, or like a demigod, or something
like
that.
What I'm saying is you've got to take Dr. Manhattan out of it because he's just too ridiculous. Anyone else. Or Gandalf is your pick then.
Yeah.
As like your most OP guy.
Yeah.
My OP guy is still probably Goku.
That's so fake and gay.
I think Goku would probably beat the shit out of Gandalf, yeah, no, if I'm honest. No, he wouldn't.
Goku's a fucking soy boy.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is. He's full of soy.
He's not.
He's anime, so he's default, like, fucking...
Of what?
He's smooth down there.
He's smooth down there.
He's totally smooth.
No, he's not. He's got a son. Gandalf hasn't got a son. He's smooth down there.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
Gandalf's a fucking man.
No, he's not.
Drinks his milk.
He literally, you know, he's a man that produces milk. He's not a man then, is he?
I didn't say he produces milk. What kind of sick? I said he drinks his milk to keep him strong.
Drinks his own milk. That's fucking sick.
That's not what I
What
meant.
Kind of image of Gandalf are you painting
God,
here?
That's not what I'm saying.
He's like milking himself for sustenance for his own magic. This is a very sick wizard you've thought up. I think Goku's going to have no problem.
What the fuck? Against a lactating Gandalf.
Well, you're the one that said it. I'm not.
It's a soy Goku versus a lactating Gandalf.
Goku's not soy. I don't know where you're getting
soy. He's got,
you know, a wife and a son. He's Chad as fuck. He's saved the world like times over. He's like epic as shit.
Oh,
Goku's the fucking boy.
No, I don't like Goku. I don't know who I would like to see fight. I would like to see like an old school diva fight. Like old school divas who have had like a lot of beef that's been simmering for years.
Like, or like Betty and Joan.
Yeah, like Betty Davis and Joan Crawford. But like the modern version of that. But I don't think, I can't think
who would
of
be
who,
the modern version
yeah,
of that.
I can't think
though.
Of who that would be.
Like, that's all part of the culture though, isn't it? Like
yeah.
People can't have feuds.
There was
people
like
can't
a-
be seen to like disagree
yeah.
and not get along.
Yeah.
It's like that's like kind of part of the fiction.
Yeah.
Like not even part of the part of the friction,
part
but also
of
part of the fiction
yeah.
of like
a
even
Hollywood.
Like you know Hollywood even bands and stuff.
Yeah.
Like the whole like for me a great example for that like I was very familiar with was like Metallica and Megadeth in the 80s.
Yeah.
Because Dave Mustaine was actually the guitarist of Metallica.
Yeah.
And they kind of kicked him out because they didn't get on with him.
Oh.
And then they went on to be massively successful. And then he obviously went on to be massively successful.
Yeah.
But they obviously weren't like buds.
No.
And the fandom also knows the history.
Yeah.
So you're also like, oh, are you a Metallica or a Megadeth fan? And like that was it's like a fucking Chelsea Arsenal thing.
Yeah.
That vendetta, the local derby,
oh
like, you
God.
Know, it means something. It has like an extra special kind of like magic to it.
What are you saying that Team Will, Team fucking Chris Rock is the new version of that?
Not really. Because,
I think it
like,
kind of is, which is, and that's sad and that's
well,
tragic.
Everyone's split down the middle on every fucking thing that happens in like the world at the moment. So
yeah.
I don't really see it as like that. Because it's not like I don't know. There's probably Chris Rock fans that are on Will Smith's side because of ideology.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily like a Will Smith's fans and Chris Rock's fans. It's
yeah.
like a it's a part. They're just figures.
Yeah.
They're just sort of like pieces in the or like actors in this play
yeah.
that's happening and everyone else is then
and
like
Jada Pinkett Smith is also a she-devil and I'll be the first one to fucking say it. I don't give a shit. Like how are you gonna like not protect your husband? Like if you've already done the if you've already had like marital issues or whatever and you're a famous person, the best thing to do would be to keep it to your fucking self. Because not only are you opening yourself up to bullshit, you're opening your entire family up to bullshit as well, because the public eye doesn't have the best interest of very visible people in mind most of the time. The public eye can also be incredibly sadistic, and there's also never any room for nuance when it comes to the public eye. Like, even with like couples on YouTube and shit, like say the guy gives the girl like a bad look, you'll see a million comments about how he's an abuser, and like people who have written entire Reddit threads about how he's like fucking...
What are you talking about? I've watched Darman and his wife's vlogs. They look like immensely happy about everything that happens in their life.
There's pressure to perform as like a celebrity couple, absolute perfection, because people don't want to accept or understand the nuances of any sort of long-term relationship, which is like the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. So they like over perpetuate this like perfect, intense image, which Jada then fucking, you know, wanted to further perpetuate by trying to launder their baggage in the public arena, which was like the worst decision one could ever make. And then she's sitting there like fucking some kind of demonic Helen of Troy, watching her husband march up on stage to slap someone. Like, in any other position, you think a woman would stop her partner from making a tit of himself? Even if you thought the joke was distasteful?
Is there like Darth Sidious, like, yes. Good apprentice.
In that green monstrosity that she was wearing as well. Like, all the outfits at the Oscars were also hideous as well. I'm not going to lie. That was one of the worst dressed years that I've ever seen. Like, but people don't give a shit. And that was one of the things that I liked about what Russell Brand said in his appraisal of it all, was that it showed like all the aggression that we feel in like our daily lives, in the world, in the state of politics, in terms of our social interactions, the hostility is being turned up and amped up to the max. And like something like the Oscars is like a traditional kind of reprieve from the real world. But even that could not withstand the pressure, and some of the pressure from the outside ended up bleeding into this event, mm-hmm. which is kind of the way he sort of symbolically praised it. And I think he's 100% right. The reason why it seems fake and gay is because it is fake and gay, and the illusion is cracking every single day. Like, it's no longer sustainable. Those things are no longer sustainable. And besides, the Oscars will be obsolete soon anyway, because...
But that's also part of why people were suspecting that it was fake, right?
Yeah.
Is the cheap shot to get people talking about it,
yeah.
and ratings, and people are still talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, a week later or whatever. Yeah. That hasn't happened for... ages?
No.
Or a long, 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 long time.
Very long time.
So, and no one does give a shit about the Oscars.
No.
The same way, like, you know, when we were watching the Grammys last night on YouTube, like 200,000 people tuned in live.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I guarantee a lot of those people are exactly like me and like my parents that were tuned in to watch like their bit.
Yeah.
Because they were probably, like, it feels, I don't know, the film industry doesn't give personal credit to, like, people in the same way the music industry does, it feels like.
Mm.
Like, all the engineers, if you're an engineer on something, you got a credit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, your name is there. And so if something's, like, awarded something for its engineering, your name's on there. So you're going to be there, whereas, like, it's sort of, like, you know... such and such productions, or you know, whoever is like one guy for the director, or you know, whatever, it's like only the very top head honcho kind of people, you know, whereas the Grammys is so wide ranging as well. It feels like it's, I don't know, maybe that's just my perception of it as like not a film guy and a music guy, but it's all, they're all it's all fake, like all of it's like dumb and like, you know,
I'm showy trying to think-
and you still get all the kind of dumb like virtue signally speeches like at both of them that overrun and go on way too long, even though LeVar Burton made very explicit rules at the beginning of the Grammys.
He did.
Everyone chose to ignore them, but none of the consequences were also put in place. Yeah. So he should
we should
have
just scrap them all together Or just have La Bamba and host all of the fucking award shows from now on.
They should just... No
one would slap him, because then you'd be slapping Kunta Kinte, which is like... It's like automatic access to hell.
That is true. Like, he's the perfect person to host everything like that now.
Yeah, basically.
And then but the only trick is he's got to be a bit more ruthless. He's got to have like a comedy, you know, one of those late night bands. And just to be just be ruthless with the timing. So like, and... now like it doesn't matter if they're halfway through something about like, you know, the deaf or fucking whoever, like it doesn't matter, like wrap it up, music's going, mic's cut.
Did Questlove just play some bass over my trans rights speech? I think I'm gonna go slap him.
Well, oh my god, yeah, that'll be the next thing, wouldn't it? The band gets a bit tasty with their timing, and then,
they get fucking beat up.
It becomes an all-out war.
Oh my god, the cultural narcissism, it's too much. Yeah, what's this like don't say gay shit?
It's so ridiculous.
What's going on? Because everywhere I turn now, I'm seeing this story. I thought it was one of those silly things that was just going to fizzle out, but like...
I told you about this a couple of weeks ago, to be fair, and you're like, oh, I don't like care.
Because I get like PTSD whenever anyone mentions like LGBT trans stuff. Well, because anytime you comment on it, you get screeched at and called all kinds of bigot, or your shit gets taken down, or this or that, and I just can't be bothered.
Yeah, because they've done effective on the internet. You know, marketing and everything on that, because the bill is not called the Don't Say Gay Bill.
Okay.
It's called something very benign and like legal and whatever to do with sexual education in school. It's not called the Don't Say Gay Bill, but like the witty liberal intelligentsia,
yeah,
have gone and like given it the snappy name of Don't Say Gay,
and which is
brilliant, because you go to anyone, do you oppose the Don't Say Gay Bill? And it's like, of course I oppose the Don't Say Gay Bill. Anybody should be able to say gay.
Yeah,
and it's like,
great evil satanic marketing,
slow hand clap.
Yeah, I know,
well done. Wonderful. Well fucking done. Yeah. It's like nothing to do with like not saying gay. Like within it is basically saying that between reception or what's it, kindergarten or whatever in America, to the sixth grade or the end of primary school, essentially, there should be no education on gender studies or sexual orientation.
Yeah. That's like pretty normal. It. That's like a normal.
Like, I'm sure there's, you know, in classic infrastructural democracy working in its best way, there's all sorts of other things that are tacked onto that. But that's like the crux of the bill, is that. And that seems to be what a lot of people are upset with as well, which is what is the most confusing thing. Because
the thing that worries me is that there's clearly a constituency of people who don't understand what the bill is about, but who just go along with whatever sounds progressive and are in those support of it. But then I think that there's also a large constituency of people who do support it. And if you do support that, that's incredibly fucked up and worrying. And the fact that there's a constituency of people who do shows that like we're not living on the same planet with the same sort of value systems, clearly.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's like they make it seem if you think that children below 10 years old basically shouldn't be taught anything about sexual orientation or gender identity, that you're a massive bigot and you're backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, like, you've like, I don't know, you've got to allow kids to be kids, and I don't think
it will come up, and if it comes up naturally and organically, then I don't think there's anything wrong with explaining it to them in a very rudimentary way.
But I think the constant cultural,
that's age appropriate,
the constant cultural fascination and persistence around the issue and subject makes it more likely that they're going to encounter that at a younger age. Yeah. Do you know what
and
I mean?
And in a worse way as well. Yeah. That's not just casual.
Yeah.
In a way that's like either incredibly like groomy or, you know, over glamorizing or, you know, or disparaging even.
Or
just like extremes, if you know what I mean.
Or just, you know, kids like attention.
Yeah.
And if fucking Billy is now fucking Sally.
Yeah.
And they're getting all of this attention and stuff.
And affirmation.
Yeah. Then other kids will be like, oh, I'm such and such too.
Yeah.
And like, you've heard stories and you've read stories and stuff about stuff like that. So it's not like out of the question.
Of course.
And like, you know, a lot of even...
It's just like basic sanity 101 stuff that shouldn't really be controversial. And you would think that the heads of the gay rights movement or whatever, gay rights movements, whatever, if they really cared about the plights of gay people, would want to make it as uncontroversial and as matter of fact as possible and not exploit all of this weird marketing crap in order to cause backlash and misunderstanding, you know? And I think something as simple as being able to explain things to children, if it comes up in a way that's age appropriate for them, is perfectly reasonable and something that most people would not have an issue with. No one is saying that you should hide the fact that gay people exist from kids. No one's saying that you should hide the fact that, you know, mommies and daddies, the stuff, the what, you know, all the stuff that they'll eventually find out when they get older. But it has to be age appropriate and contextualized.
Yeah, and you gotta allow for it. This might sound really naive, but you've gotta allow for the innocence of kids to be kids.
That's like impossible these days, though.
Maybe.
It's like if you see the sorts of shit the internet was around when I was a kid. People give their like 2-year-olds iPads. Like I was at my friend's house who has a 2-year-old, and like she intuitively knows how to find the things that she wants to play and watch, even though she cannot read. Like it's almost like an appendage at this point, you know?
Yeah,
it's intuitive. So it's hard. Keep kids away from and to keep them innocent, and especially with I don't know, it's just weird. Like, why would you want to? What's the
but that era's dying out though as well a little bit because like you know our parents didn't know diddly fuck about computers or firewalls or security or anything like that. So you know them trying to set up their Norton, you know. internet blocker for you to not get on whatever websites you wanted to, wink, was never difficult to work your way around. But now you've had a whole generation of people that are being advertised VPNs as like a service they need, and they know in-depth, you know, not in-depth, but they know basic things about networking and stuff like that. So like, I don't think that like my infant child is going to be able to outmaster my internet security protocols.
Oh, really?
And I think I think most millennial men will probably take that as some sort of masculine affront as well.
Oh my God. It'll be some young lion versus old lion shit. Like,
you
with
think
the
you
Wi-Fi
can get past
password?
My firewalls? Oh my you don't God. Think that I don't think that you're a rascal and you're going to try all of these shady things?
Oh,
I'm literally going to set up like the Jurassic Park, like a hacker thing where he's like, it was just going to be a picture of me, like with my middle finger, like wagging at him.
Oh my God.
Or her. Like, it would just be amazing. And they'll be trying to get around it, trying to watch all the porn and shit that they hear about at school.
Nope.
And they'll be so frustrated. Just be there, me with my little middle finger.
No, I'm going to be like so strict. So they can have a game console, but it will be in the communal area in the living room. They wouldn't be allowed to have it in their room. They
get
like
me.
A shitty like drug dealer Nokia phone.
Did you hear me?
What?
I said that didn't stop me.
Okay. I love how you had to stop me to emphasize that having your PlayStation in a communal area didn't stop you from jacking off.
It meant that I watched like, you know, porn on a much bigger screen when my parents were out, because they included
siblings. They, so what's wrong with
they included, well, because my sister wasn't really playing the PlayStation, and she certainly wasn't going on the web browser on the PS3. Like, oh, I don't know, God, if they got rid of the web browser or if that's still a thing now.
I think it was like poor Georgia, but trying to like play The Sims and accidentally seeing your fucking history.
They introduced the web browser to the Wii and to the PS3, but I don't think they introduced it to the Xbox.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, sucks to be you, bro. You don't know what it's like to watch porn on the big screen. Like, hey, you're confined to your little fucking PC.
Oh, God.
But I can watch all of those things on the living room TV.
I don't know. If we have a kid and he's a teenager, then I'll just give him his own shed or something. I don't know. I don't want to be... But then again, you can't. You got to take responsibility. What I would do is the computer and the PlayStation will be in the communal area of the house. And at times, we'll disable the internet so that he has to do stuff like, I don't know, make a Premiere Pro project or dick around on Ableton, do something creative.
No, you just make like you make a box that has absolutely no internet connectivity to it whatsoever possible. There's no Ethernet ports. There's no fucking wireless adapter in it at all. It cannot connect to the... It doesn't know what an internet signal is. Like, that's the end of it. It has an operating system and all the software that you load onto it. And they can do all sorts of fun stuff on there. But there's absolutely no internet. Simple.
I don't know. It's like social pressure as well, because you don't want your kid to stick out from their peers too much so that they don't get bullied.
And like, it's like, hey, take this phone. It's really cool. And it was in a very cool film called The Matrix. And you can tell all your friends that, and then you'll go and watch it together, and you'll be like, oh shit, you're the fucking most cool motherfucker. No, I want a phone like that. And then all their parents will be really mad at us because you have this really cool retro phone that's actually from the movie, and they'll all have to go and pay like lots of money for a retro phone.
You show him like The Matrix when he's 5 or whatever, and he buys like the black trench coat and wears it to school, and everyone thinks he's like a Columbine. Everyone thinks he's like Columbine vibe. No, I don't think that's a good idea.
No, because there's no Columbine vibe in the UK. People don't do that sort of thing here. You know, it's not on.
What's your favorite rock feud, or just music feud in general?
Music, I mean, it's got to be Prince and Rick James.
Wait, Prince and Rick James had beef?
Oh, dude, it was like the most legendary beef. It was the most legendary beef. Because they were both trying to, like, not do this. They were both filling this kind of similar space within the genre, like, if you know what I mean.
Like a... funk men,
yeah, kind of effeminate. Although I wouldn't really say Rick James was effeminate.
He was kind of effeminate with his braids. He had like braids with beads in it. That's like the hairstyle I had when I was like 5 years old,
I guess.
He had like a little black girl's hairstyle,
I guess. But I still wouldn't class him. I still wouldn't class him as effeminate, just because of how ridiculous he was and outlandish his like behavior.
Why
was.
Were they beefing?
I think, I don't know, they just had rivalry with each other because...
Prince had rivalry with everyone, that he was such a diva.
Because they were both massive stars, and they were both, like, making hit records at the same time, and they were both trying to get the number one spot.
Yeah.
And so there was that rivalry, always.
Yeah.
And as much as you hear, like, extravagant, you know, Rick James stories, there are just as many extravagant Prince stories that I just don't think have... fully like emerged just yet. Like, there's a few like legendary ones. I think it was, I can't remember if it was a Dave Chappelle stories one where he did the Prince one and they were playing basketball and shit and he played in the full Prince costume with the boots and everything and ran circles around everyone and yeah, killed and like, wow, absolutely ripped everyone to shreds.
Wow.
And like, you know, mad shit like that, and obviously all the mad stories about Rick James, but those two definitely, their beef was like historical. Even like if you watch a show called Tales from the Tour Bus,
Oh yeah,
they
that's
do quite
a
few episodes on the beef between Rick James and Prince, which is pretty amazing.
If you could resurrect any dead celebrity and have them beef with a living one, who would it be? I know what mine would be. I would love to see the battle of the egos between Kanye West and fucking James Brown, just because they both have such ginormous megalomaniac sized egos. And
I think James Brown wins.
You think James Brown would win?
James Brown was unhinged in a way
he,
that
like,
Kanye
didn't he try to like shoot his like band at one point.
Many times he threatened people at gunpoint, like he would shot like, you know, a hole in that the start of Get Up and stuff. Yeah. That's a completely true story, I believe. And he was arrested, and like, so he was like off. Like, celebrities used to be more off the chain than they were these days.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But the thing is, they still, Hollywood at least had the, I don't know, there was a certain level of decorum where those things were kept discreet. Even though they were sort of public knowledge, they weren't emphasized in terms of the celebrity's public persona. So,
kind of, sometimes, I don't know, Richard Pryor is the opposite example of that. Where, like, he had this really public divorce and, like, I think even went to jail and stuff from, like, what he did.
But he had a whole secret life as well that no one knew about until he died.
But then, he came back after all of that scandal and did the most legendary stand-up set of, like, all of his ones, basically.
Yeah.
And, like, completely killed it and gave away loads of, like, details around, like, you know, all of the crazy shit that he was doing.
Yeah.
But
like, not just that, like, I also think that there was a certain level of, like, I don't know, there was a lot going on. Like, even, like, something like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I remember the Bruce Lee thing caused a bunch of scandal.
Yeah.
Because the way Quentin Tarantino portrayed Bruce Lee made him kind of look like a bit of a dickhead. But apparently he was kind of a dickhead.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a lot of stuff that you wouldn't expect or just, like, wouldn't know. In terms of like people and their personalities and their feuds and stuff in Hollywood. And a lot of those feuds are also fueled by the culture and politics that are surrounding that specific time period as well. And that still happens now. Like movie stars, anybody who has influence, their influence is always utilized by corporations, by governmental figures, by politicians, by the security state. There are a million different interests working all the time in our entertainment industry and in what we're fed, like, as the public.
Yeah.
And I feel like people should think more about what we see in those terms instead of just taking everything at face value, or worse, like, narcissistically projecting your own internal life onto these, like, figures, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And I mean, that's designed for you to do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole culture of celebrity that they've sort of encouraged, even down to, like, the self-made celebrities and, like, content creators and stuff like that. It's all based on access and knowing and getting a further level of access to that person and having, like, this kind of, as you say all the time, parasocial relationship, yeah. Right?
And it's also part of the reason why, like, if you talk to young kids these days, their primary aspiration is to be famous or to be some kind of influencer. And I mean, I think it's worse these days, but I would even say as a millennial, it was just as bad as when I was growing up. Like, I grew up watching Hannah Montana, which is like a fame apotheosis arc.
Yeah, that is all.
All of the shows I liked were like fame apotheosis arc type shows. And if you watch Disney Channel, and that's like all they're selling you is the big dream of like becoming famous.
Well, it's like post-war. It's like since, well, I don't know. Because, you know, Elvis, you didn't have, it's not like every guy wanted to be Elvis, but it wasn't like, do you know what I mean?
Why?
It's not like everybody was trying to be Elvis.
Yeah.
Like, but then I guess there were some guys that were trying to be Elvis, and then they kind of went on, they were the Beach Boys, and then they, you know, so it does kind of perpetuate itself in that way a little bit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, it does kind of take people being, I don't know, it's just fucked up the way it's kind of morphed and gone.
A big time, like, but there's so much less of it now at the same time. because it's all concentrated on the internet. Like back in the day, the kind of youth culture psyop that filled the void of alienation that young people had in their lives, like the less young people feel integrated into society, the more space pop culture and celebrity takes up. And you saw that really happen strongly for the first time with like the boomers and the whole 60s like fucking Woodstock Summer of Love shit. That was when pop culture really started to kind of be a major fixture of American like youth psyche, life, consumer culture, all of that stuff. And nowadays it's largely confined to like the online space. But back in the day, alienated kids who felt a little weird would like follow fucking Marilyn Manson on the road. You know, they would like literally go on tour and follow bands on the road. They would like go and like fucking squat somewhere just to be able to see their favorite person, the person who they got their identity and vitality from. Like, but now it's made all the more easier. There are 10 million other types of different cults of personality that one can sell their soul to through the internet. And anyone can also try to elevate themselves above others as like a god, as like a fetish, basically, in the like market that's like all of us are existing in. It's so fucking weird. And it's going to get fucking weirder. I don't know. I've been smoking a lot of weed this week, and the Will Smith stuff kind of tickled my brain in a funny way, I guess.
Very undude.
Why is it undude?
Well, to be slapping a comedian in the face? Very
of course,
undude.
Very undude. But no, I don't know. I've been smoking weed and I don't know. It just felt like a bit of a glitch in the matrix. Like it just had so many different Adam Curtis movies playing in my head all at once, basically.
You could hear his voice narrating
literally, as you saw the headlines coming in. I could hear Adam Curtis's voice in like an Aphex Twin song.
This was the moment some people thought freedom of speech died.
Oh god, yeah. But it's been an interesting week. Otherwise, a lot of award show shit, and especially because it was paralleling like your Grammy nom thing.
Yeah.
I don't really want to, now that this is over, I don't want to watch any more award shows.
Yeah,
or,
no
like,
more award shows for a while.
No, no, thank you. No. I didn't even really see what won and what didn't. I know that Dune won a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Which I didn't really think it deserved.
I mean, there was like, it's been a year where there's been a whole bunch of pretty meh movies, and I know that all the ones that I'm excited about will not be like nominated for Oscars and stuff, so no point.
Yeah, The Last Duel?
Yeah.
Did Pig get anything?
No, I think Pig was nominated for something, but it didn't win.
Ugh.
Ridiculous.
All the best movies.
Lapsus, completely. I've still, nobody has seen that movie.
Did The Lighthouse get any
nods? Lighthouse was years ago. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh shit, sorry. I thought it was
years
ago.
No, Lapsus, dude. Like, that was even like last year. But that film has gone so under the radar.
Yeah, I know.
That like, even like movie nerds that I know, I'm like, hey, but you seen Lapsus? Like, what?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. How the fuck has this not been like more broadly distributed or anybody seen it? Like, it's absolutely crazy to me.
This was great. In terms of TV, we've really been enjoying Severance.
Severance is the shit.
We've been preaching the gospel of Severance for the last couple of weeks to the people in the Patreon.
My bets are Ben Stiller is a fucking Philip K. Dick nerd.
Yeah, definitely. You can tell.
There's
or
no
even
way.
A ballad. I'm feeling more J.G. Ballad.
There's no way that you're not big Philip K. Dick nerd, but with all of your like themes around split consciousness and like all of this stuff.
Say dick nerd again.
Oh my god.
I'm a dick nerd.
I'm a big PK dick nerd for sure.
You are a big dick nerd, aren't you?
I am a big PK dick nerd. Like,
oh my god.
Is his last name actually just Dick? Isn't it would it be Richard? But people shorten it to Dick?
I have no idea.
Or like at some point one of his ancestors just decided that they were going to shorten it to Dick.
I didn't
know.
And
that wasn't like, ha, Dick. Like, back then. Like, I'm pretty sure like our family's last name was like until like the war, and then my
You're doxing yourself. And
it's whatever. Fine. My granddad basically put an S on the end of his surname.
Please don't dox yourself.
I'm not gonna. We'll bleep that bit out. It's fine. Okay. But my great granddad basically put an S on the end of his surname when he signed up. And that basically then all of his legal documents were like with the S on the end of the name. So that was then the name. And it was just like, so that just sometimes it just happens.
Yeah, I guess
that was like a minor change. But it was literally
you also got half a name. Because when I met you, I thought your name was Jacob.
No.
And I called you Jacob like for like a year or something.
I thought you were just being like cute and American.
No, I thought your name was Jacob. And then you were like, no, it's just Jake. And I was like, nobody's name is just Jake. I was like, why is your name just Jake? That sounds fucking fake. But then I asked your parents and it turns out that your name's fucking just Jake.
Yeah, like you thought you looked at me like a real like a real gotcha moment, like we were having dinner with my parents and you're like, I'm gonna ask him what's Jake's real name? Like, isn't it short for Jacob or something? Like, you're saying it like they were going to turn around and go, oh yeah, his real name is Jacob Listine or something like that. Or whatever the fuck, like some extra long name or whatever. And he was just like, no, it's just Jake.
He's
like, no, like, I can't believe it. Why is it just Jake? I think you even asked that, like, why is it just Jake?
Yeah, and that's not a name.
And my dad said that because it's a good name.
Your dad said it's a good, strong, working class name, which yeah. I thought was very telling. Your mother wanted to call you Elliot, which I think would have been more suited.
I would have been bullied a lot more as a child if I was called Elliot, so I'm good.
I think Elliot's a cute name.
Unless I like just you can't even shorten it because it's like Ellie. I was gonna say you could shorten it to Eli, which sounds like fucking epic and like biblical and powerful. But it's not even that. It's like Ellie, which is a chick's name. He's just like cucking yourself further.
Like, you said that if we had a son that you wanted to call him Kakarot.
Yeah,
that's so fucking awful.
It would be so funny.
No, it's not funny.
The middle name Kakarot.
Yeah. Oh my god, no.
You'd be like, what the fuck is that? I'd be like, dude, you're a little Goku.
It's awful.
You're Kakarot.
Well, who came up with that name? That's just, it sounds so like sounds like a disease.
What's
You've
his name?
You've got Kakarots.
Akira Toriyama, I think, was his name that does Dragon Ball Z. I can't remember if you can read
Dragon
it.
Dragon Ball Z has a creator. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Because from the way that you guys talk about it, and my brothers and stuff, it's as if it's like a holy text that just like was transcribed by a prophet.
No, I mean, I you know, you keep saying, oh, we're going to make space on the bookshelves for more plants.
Yeah.
And then like,
I need more plants.
Like,
happens when you're a woman and you haven't had kids at like 28, you just start buying plants.
the first thing we can move is like this complete collection of Dragon Ball manga.
Yeah.
We can move this off the front of the shelf.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know why the fuck it's there.
Why would you do that? That's like, that's cool. Like, why would you do that?
It really isn't. It really isn't.
It would be double cool if it was all the first editions, but it's like a mix of editions, which is a shame.
Are you ever going to read it again?
Yeah, I will.
You've been saying that for years now. We've been together for 7 years.
It doesn't matter.
You've not picked
up some
of
those things, Angie, are just stuff that you collect and you keep.
Oh my God.
Okay, it's just having a library of stuff.
Oh my God.
And then when you do have like a little niece or a little nephew or a little kid or whatever, then it's like, oh, you like comic books? Dude, come to my house and check out these comic books.
That sounded really creepy.
Okay, maybe not come to my house and check out these comic books. Maybe. Oh, you like comic books? Next time I come to fucking see your uncle or your dad or whatever, then I'll come and fucking, I'll bring some comics for you to read.
Yeah.
You know, and then I could bring a Dragon Ball.
I mean,
you know,
I don't think that.
My little niece is getting into reading. Maybe she'll enjoy
she'll get
reading
into Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z.
I doubt that very much.
I like, you know, she's too little to lend her any Dragon Ball because I wouldn't want her to like spill juice or whatever the fuck on it. Okay, but maybe when she's like, you know,
but maybe we can
maybe
finally
when she's
get
like,
rid of these fucking.
Maybe when
mangas.
She's like 10 years old and she's still like, oh
you've
yeah, I love reading
you've got
stories.
You got a nephew as well.
I do, but he doesn't really seem like the book reading type so much.
That's so fucking mean.
At the moment,
He's three.
Yeah, exactly. That could all change in a heartbeat. But at the moment, he doesn't seem too much be interested in books.
He's like too bright.
No, I do think he's very bright, but I just he hasn't shown to be interested in
because
books.
He plays with trucks all the time.
Yeah, he's more interested in physical stuff right now.
It's like annoying though. I love him. Rory's the sweetest, but like every time he comes around, it's like crash, bang, 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 crash, crash. It's like, whoa,
no,
dude.
It's great. They're wonderful. I love my little nephews
they're
and
sweet.
Nieces.
I have a new nephew now as well. I'm officially an auntie.
You are now officially auntie.
I know.
Auntie Angie.
Oh my god, what is happening?
I'm gonna call you Auntie from now on.
You better fucking not, okay? It's fucking weird. I don't know, it's exciting though. I'm really excited and not feeling old at all, I promise. it was lovely talking to you guys. And if you want more from us, you can join us on Patreon. $5 gets you bonus episodes, it gets you access to our Discord, and it also gets you access to our book club. We are currently reading Cosmic Trigger. We did episode 3.
Episode 3 last night, so episode 4 next week.
Yeah, and if you've missed those episodes, they're up on the Patreon as well to catch. Talk to you guys next week. Bye!
Bye!